Welcome to the Healing Ground Movement, a podcast dedicated to revolutionizing how we think about our bodies and our health. I'm your host, Dr. Carly Hudson, DC, and I have lived my life in pursuit of holistic healing and care that goes beyond symptom management. If you've been listening and like what you're hearing, head over to your favorite platform and leave us a review so we can reach more people with our important message. Enjoy today's episode. Welcome to another episode of the Healing Ground Movement podcast. I'm Dr. Carly Hudson, and with me today is Sarah Camassioni. Sarah is an online and in-person nutrition and fitness coach dedicated to tearing down the facade that exercise and nutrition is time-consuming and complicated. She helps her clients build up and implement the time-saving, super simple, yet effective strategies in their health and wellness so they can live their strongest life. And I just love anybody who takes behavioral approaches to exercise and nutrition and brings them to help improve the lives of others. So thank you for joining us today.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I always want to know, first off, when was movement fun first fun for you?
Fun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could have first memory of movement, but when did it turn into something you enjoyed?
Well, I grew up in a really small town, and so we would do, like, the park and rec sports leagues. And so I played softball for my entire youth, it feels like. That's a huge memory of just, like, an overarching memory of my youth was playing softball, small town, summer leagues. I was a catcher. I was really competitive, of course. Like, it's a theme in my life, in a way. And then around that age as well, my sister was a couple years. She's a couple years younger than me, and she started taking me with her to go on her cross-country runs because she was a cross-country runner. And so she'd be like, you have to go with me. And I just remember we would always get ourselves into trouble because we'd go for these like really long runs. And this was before cell phones. Yeah. And then we wouldn't be able to get back. And so we'd have to like find a way to call our mom and ask her to come pick us up, you know, on the other side of town because we'd run 8 miles and like we couldn't run back. So those are my like childhood memories of movement. Well, and there's pleasure in there.
Well, I see two themes that come out of that. And one you highlighted is the competitive nature of getting in there and doing your best in the softball realm. But I love, and it's something that now that we have cell phones, I wonder about my kid and when she'll ever learn this, the resiliency of just having to figure it out, like still owning the freedom of wanting to go on these long cross-country runs and knowing you're going to have to problem solve just to get home. I mean, it becomes more of a life skill than just going for a long run.
Yeah.
I think it's something that we miss now.
I don't think we knew that we were doing that, but looking back, hindsight, we definitely, you know, had to problem solve and learn a lot, and there is a lot of blissful ignorance. You don't have conveniences like modern technology, but I don't even know where that day is anymore because it is like that is not our life at all.
No, and we grew up without it, and yet, you know, your cell phone's right out of my line and mine is too, and that's just where we are.
I'm so glad that I have a lot of memories without them though, like my childhood, middle school, high school, like we didn't have those issues. And I talk to clients now and they struggle with the responsibility of the decision of, okay, my 7-year-old, my 10-year-old, like, when do I let them and how do I let them? And I'm just like, do not envy it at all. No. I can't imagine having to deal with that.
It's a whole new world around it. Yeah. And I wonder, but on the other hand, we can use those tech devices to help with our goals and help us change. And so that speaks really wonderfully to what you do now. And you can do telecommunication, working with your clients all over the country.
It's amazing. I'm, you know, at the beginning of my in-person business years ago, like I didn't know anything was missing, but I felt this thing. And now years later, it's been actualized and like there's so much more that can be done in that I want to do and the reach I want to have to more people. And having that actualized through virtual coaching and training sessions and, you know, video sessions, it's really fun. I enjoy it. I'm really excited about it, and my clients love it. It's hard work.
Convenient.
It's very convenient. You know, like we were talking about the technology. We live in a super busy world, and something I always tell my clients, like we are never going to get less busy unless you like stop living us fully. Usually,
yeah,
and we can't keep pushing off something to another time.
Yeah.
Because we're too busy. So we've just got to figure out a way to make it work within our lifestyle if it's gonna stick.
Well, I think something that I hear a lot in my office is, you know, there's never a convenient time to get sick. But I also think, just as you're talking about this, there's never going to be enough time. There's also never a convenient time to get healthy. There's never a convenient time to change your behavior and your patterns.
It never feels convenient. I understand that. But on the other side of that, like, we literally do not have a choice. Like, your body is the only vehicle that takes you through your life, period. Mm-hmm. If you neglect that, you're compromising your livelihood. And it is that black and white.
Yeah.
Like, it seems extreme to some people and maybe in your face, but, you know, if our bodies don't function, if our health isn't intact, like, it impairs the way that we interact and show up in our lives and function.
Absolutely.
And that's financially impairing, you know, like, if it affects our jobs, it affects our ability to work and produce income, you know, it affects our relationships, our happiness, you know, and our quality of life.
Yeah.
So, you know, our lives depend on it. So I like taking that stance, actually, though, because people, especially with, like, social media and marketing, like, they almost need – it's not a scare tactic, but it's an abrupt-in-your-face tactic.
A wake-up call, almost.
Honesty, you know.
Yeah. There's a good tactic, just honesty.
It's just honesty.
And just going to say, there's never a convenient time to do it. That's not to negate the fact, like, and you should do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't make time for your health, you're certainly going to have to make time for your illness.
For sure.
And that will come at the expense of that list that you just made out, your whole quality of life.
I love that. If you don't make time for your health, you'll have to make time for your illness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't go any other way.
No. Yeah.
No. So what inspired you to become a health coach? How did you arrive here?
It's been a journey. So, you know, I already kind of gave you a little nugget with, like, my youth and sports. And so from a young age, I got really competitive. And then in my 20s, you know, obsessive. Obsessive with the way that my body looked.
Okay.
And the way that it didn't look, or the way that I wanted it to look, the way that it performed, the food I was putting into it. You know, I feel it was a natural progression. It was a natural path of starting off leisurely and then just going kind of really deep into it. So I did it all. Like, I did a lot of long distance running competitively, and then I was an Olympic weightlifter, competitive weightlifter in grad school. So, like, you know, what started off as recreational sports in my, you know, 10-year life, my 10-year-old life, it stuck with me all the way until now, but through grad school. And everything that I was doing was really time-consuming, really complicated. Mm-hmm. And as soon as my life would change, it would throw off my ability to train or to work out or to adhere to these protocols that I'd been following. And I was always having to try to cater my life around, like, my sport or my training schedule or my nutrition or my recovery. And I moved out here. And that all went all out the window. And it started going out the window in grad school when my business started to build. When people were coming to me in grad school, I had a blog, like, my recipes and my workouts.
Yeah.
And, like, it was all about me, but I thought it was helping people. But people liked the blog. And so people were coming to me and, like, asking for advice on, like, workouts and nutrition and exercise. And, like, they wanted all this coaching, this information. And I was in grad school at the time for art history. I was studying to be a professor. And my colleague looks at me. She goes, you know, you need to start charging people for this. Like, you have a line out the door. Like, this is, like, your time.
This is a job now.
Yeah, this is your time. And I was like, no, I'm not going to monetize a hobby. Because I had monetized a hobby with my degree with art history. And I was like, it had changed it. And I wasn't going to do it to fitness. And then that all went out the window because – it was, you know, a bigger side hustle than the full-time hustle. And my mom died really, really suddenly, traumatically, about March is 5 years ago. And so it kind of was like a big wake-up call where I was like, am I doing what I really want to be doing with my life every day? And am I making an impact? And am I waking up every day on fire to do what I do? And I wasn't. And so I just decided – this was more in alignment with it. I think I went on like four little tangents on that.
Well, I like that we can see how your passion can grow into these side hustles, can grow into the full hustle. Mm-hmm. You know, it just becomes everything that you're supposed to do. And you made an interesting point around, you know, when you were doing the professional weightlifting, the Olympic weightlifting, that all of that became, everything had to revolve around that. And that's something I hear a lot with professional athletes, is that your life becomes the job of preparing for your competition, whatever it is. And whether that's, you know, the pre-workout, the workout, the cool down, the recovery, and then kind of rinse and repeat, everything else has to fit around that. And part of your message now is how to make these kinds of exercise and nutritional choices fit into your life as you know it. It doesn't have to be this professional elite, I can devote my entire life to preparing for it.
Yeah, well, and it ties back to the sustainability of what mm-hmm. we're doing. So at this point, if people aren't exercising, I want them to start exercising and stay exercising. And mm-hmm. the way for that to happen is to tear down the barrier of entry. You need to lower how intimidating it is to get started and mm-hmm. make it so that they can have wins right out the gate. And for me, it means how can you find movement and fitness into your daily life as it is? It doesn't mean like, okay, let's look at your time and see how we can free up some, you know, 20, 30 minutes and you can do your workout at home.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the gym. Okay, you're stuck in the office. Great. Like, you can put two pairs of dumbbells and a kettlebell in your office and close your door for 20 minutes and get a workout done like three mm-hmm. times a week. You can do that. You don't have to, you know, find an hour and a half. You can mm-hmm. find 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to find an hour and a half to get to the gym, get back from the gym and do all that stuff. You know, because when I was an athlete, it was 2 hours of training a day, an hour post, you know, training recovery, and then usually an hour of like easy, an mm-hmm. hour of like cooking, prepping, eating, and fueling. You know, so that was 4 hours of my day minimum, 6 days a week that I devoted to fitness,
mm-hmm.
which is just not sustainable.
No, not for, you know,
a lot of people.
Yeah, for a working American, especially when we talk about populations that need to be working two or three jobs
yeah.
just to make ends meet.
For real.
And even those who don't have offices that they can, you know, put themselves in and take those times together. There has to be a really accessible way
yep.
to start moving and taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
So what are some of these misconceptions that you see? You mentioned a couple of them, like taking the hour and a half and having to go to a gym for it to count as a workout.
Yeah.
What are these misconceptions about barrier to entry that you see with your clients that they assume, I can't do it because?
Oh my gosh, a lot. Well, one of them is that they think they need a gym, and mm-hmm. we really don't. If that is a barrier of entry, like, we can find out ways that you can move at home, at your office, in a park
mm-hmm.
For quite a while and make progress, burn fat, build muscle, you know, get into shape, improve your heart health. We can do that for quite a while before mm-hmm. you would benefit from then having a little bit more equipment. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one. The other one is that people feel like they need a lot of time to get a workout in, and they mm-hmm. need like an hour to make it worth their time. And if they don't work out for an hour, it's not worth their time. That's stuff I hear a lot, which I'm a huge fan. I very rarely will exercise for more than 40 minutes at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my workouts, 4 to 5 days a week, are a half hour. And you just lift weights fast. I have a lot of my clients that don't have that time to spend a ton of time exercising as well, and I take the same approach. So time is a big one. Like, we're a time-poor society.
Mm-hmm.
We never have enough of it, and we use that as an excuse to not do stuff. So
yeah.
I really like to be, like, pretty honest and truthful about the fact that you don't need a lot of time to get into shape. Do you need a lot of time to, like, get your physique to a point where you can step on the stage and win a bikini and bodybuilding contest? Yes. Do you need a lot of time to perform at like an Olympic level and to like win competitions in your sport? Yeah. But for the general population, you don't need that much time.
If your goal is to move more healthily, to feel more comfortable in your body and keep up with, you know, the kids and the other adults
yes.
in your life,
yes.
you know, that's just about moving more than you're currently doing,
yes.
which honestly for most Americans is a pretty low bar.
Yes. It is. You know, my whole impetus with my business and the way that I coach and approach fitness and movement is I want to make people more functional mm-hmm. within their day-to-day life. And so that's very unique. You know, for my 67-year-old client, he wants to be able to run around with his grandkids and pick them up and mm-hmm. pick things up off the floor without throwing his back out.
Fair
and,
enough.
You know, for my 28-year-old rock climber, she wants to be able to make dynamic moves and do a lot of pull-ups and be able to sprint on demand and things like that. So function and form are very different and mm-hmm. unique. But it's also what I really love about what I do because I have experience with a lot of those realms of fitness and, mm-hmm. and movement. And so so time is one. Access to equipment's another one. I don't know. Do you know some? I know more, but what do you hear?
I hear mostly the time, the access, and that I get most often in here is I can't move. I am stiff and I am sore, mm-hmm. so I can't go work out. So my body is already not serving me, so I'm not someone who gets to move.
Yeah.
Which is the biggest misconception that I try and correct is that it's like that because you're not moving. Mm. And so we yeah. need to start small in a way that you're not going to hurt yourself because your hip flexors are so tight or you're worried about your back, but it doesn't mean that you won't be able to do these things.
Yeah.
And honestly, you get to see a really cool quick uptick in mm-hmm. in movement with people that are so deconditioned because it's what your body is meant to do. You only get the small little, 1% gains when we're talking about that rock climber.
Yes.
You know, your average person, you're going to see a lot of change pretty quickly.
And that's what I love. I call those the beginner gains.
Mm-hmm. That's a good.
Because, and that's what is really important about what I do and the way that I do it is we tear down the entry mm-hmm. barriers. And right out the gate, it's important that clients or people have wins. So they feel successful. They feel accomplished with the workout and whatever they're approaching mm-hmm. so that it is then a motivating feed-forward cycle for them
yeah.
versus what happens frequently is people will not be moving for a long time. They'll be really stiff. They'll go to the gym. They think they need an hour to make it worth their time. Mm-hmm. They go work out way too long, way too hard. They hurt their bodies even more because they're deconditioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then it feeds their belief of, well, I told you I can't do this
yeah.
because I'm not ready
bias.
For it. And
yeah.
so, I have clients that can instantly jump into an hour-long workout, and then I have clients that literally I'm like, you need to set a timer for 10 minutes, and I want you to mm-hmm. do bodyweight squats assisted by the wall and forearm plank holds on a bench, like literally bare bones basics movement.
Mm-hmm.
For 10 minutes for this first week. Okay, next week we're going to add 15 minutes. And then we're going to go to 20 minutes. Like that is – people are like, well, it's not enough. And like I need to be – it needs to be harder. And I'm just like, where do you get this information from?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is challenging for your body.
Well,
this is
yeah.
100% more than what you've been doing last week. So expectation management.
Well, and I think that's a big piece when we start talking about misconceptions. That expectation management, I think that encompasses all of the categories that we've already said, is that I know I've heard through all of my levels of education at some point or another, 30 minutes of heart rate at this number, at this pace, and that is what a workout is. And there's not a lot of conversation about meeting you where you're at. And whether that's
yeah.
the physicality that you're already sitting in, whether you've been completely sedentary and deconditioned, or if you, can do a yoga class once a week and feel really good about it, or, if you're that rock climber that we mentioned, there's a huge variability in our amount of physical prowess. There's also a huge variability in our goals.
Yeah.
And our movement and our nutrition is going to be influenced by where we're at and where we want to go. And the possibilities of what that's going to look like are endless.
Yeah.
There is not a one-size-fits-all.
I was literally just about to say, there is no one-size-fits-all, and it's definitely not linear.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I understand for someone who maybe doesn't have a plan and they don't know what to do and they don't know how to get started, how that can feel really intimidating
yeah.
and overwhelming. And I totally see and hear that. There are always resources available.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've become very firm with that in the sense of – and it's not just like boosting my business. It's it's not about that for me. It's about there's always someone or something out there that can help someone get started. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very easy to get on a phone call with someone, ask, and on social media, send an email, whatever, yeah. Just get started with it. But if there's one thing that I've learned through, you know, my client portfolio, whatever, over the last like 7 years, is I have multiple programs, but I have this one program. A lot of people come through it, and every person that is in it is completely different, mm-hmm. in terms of how I take their approach, you know, because what works for one person, it's not across the board that it's going to work for everybody in terms of the nutrition. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's lifestyle is different. They need different considerations, and they need different tools that are unique to their life, mm-hmm. their unique choices, their preferences. And that is what I love about my job, is because I help people find that out for themselves, because mm-hmm. that is what they're going to do long term. They're not going to do like this piece of paper that I give them and it's mm-hmm. like, okay, here's your breakfast, here's your lunch, here's your dinner. Like, I'm not teaching you anything. I'm telling you what to do. Yeah. I'm not teaching you anything. Instead, we're going to collaborate. I'm still going to use my expertise and my framework and point you in the direction that I know I want you to go ultimately. But you're going to make the decision of, okay, here are three breakfast options. What do you love? What mm-hmm. will you actually be happy having? Yeah. And that's what we're going to build into your long-term framework, because it's your life.
And if you don't find enjoyment in it, you're not going to do it.
Yeah. And everyone's like, what's the solution? And I'm like, you know what the solution is? Doing the same thing over and over and over and over. You want a fit body? Mm-hmm. Okay, keep going to the gym.
Yeah.
Like, not just like for 2 months, like for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, mm-hmm. like keep exercising, you know?
You have to have this be part of your natural habitat. Yeah. You know, you are the solution. And I think when it comes to health and body and nutrition, the real thing that we keep, the professionals that I have in here on the podcast and what we're talking about, it's always comes down to a discussion of self-discovery and yeah. knowing yourself and knowing what motivates you, knowing that, you know, you have a certain fitness goal and you're aware of where you're at. You're aware of where you've deconditioned to, knowing that, you know, like you said, that you're a very competitive person and that's going to help propel you towards a goal. I'm not a competitive person. The fastest way that I can stop doing a workout is if I take one of those New Year challenge cards and say, all right, I'm going to do 30. Like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm one of those, you can't make me and I can't either.
Yeah.
So there's a different motivation mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. So the fitness plan of that you would have for yourself is going to be very different than what I would have for me. But we both want to keep moving. We both want to do our best in the world. And there's not to say I'm going to fail because I can't do it your way.
You know, it's so cliche, but like, it's not about the destination.
Mm-hmm.
Like your health, your fitness, this is a long-term lifestyle choice. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm careful with that because that can be scary to people.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't want to do this forever. Mm-hmm. And when someone's starting at zero, the idea of them doing it forever is so far away that they cannot see that. It's not mm-hmm. something that they believe in. Yeah. So you segment it down and you say, okay, we're going to do this for 5 months. And then 2 months into it, they're already talking about long-term. Yeah. And that's when you start to feed them the long-term as well. Because, you know, with your health, your healthy choices, your movement routines, your nutrition, when you hit a destination and you stop doing it,
mm-hmm.
it's when you die. Like you don't stop.
You don't get to decide, I've hit my goal weight.
This is enough. Now I can just like say screw it and I'm just going to like eat Oreos and like stop going to the gym. Like like it doesn't work like that.
Well, and you said a really fantastic phrase that I wanted to draw out again, which is when you talk about this becomes a lifestyle choice and you are basically going to stay fit and moving forever if you want to stay fit and moving forever.
Yeah.
And that some people can't even see themselves doing it. And that is such a big deal.
It's an issue.
How can we, if I can't imagine the fact that I'm going to be able to walk around the park right now, how on earth am I going to believe you when you feed me this, you know, bull story about me moving for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
It's not an accessible goal right now.
Yeah.
But 5 months could be. It could be a stretch, but it could be an accessible goal.
Yeah.
And it's like you've been saying, it's building these accessible wins. But a lot of that has to do with how we see ourselves. You know, do I feel like I'm capable of doing a year? Not right now. I can give you a week. So I give you a week and I prove myself and you that I've got that. And now we can add on and add on.
It's really behavior. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of psychology. Like if I had had the hindsight now that I had, if I would have had it like 7 years ago, I probably would have gotten, I tell everyone this, I probably would have gotten a physical therapy degree as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done PT school, and I probably would have done some clinical psychology, like social work, because I use a ton of the strategies and the coaching that my therapist gives me to work with my clients through behavior change as well.
Mm-hmm.
And 50% of my clients will go back to therapy or start therapy up when we start working together, because they realize that this is a bigger thing for them, and there's mm-hmm. no shame in that.
No.
But one of the biggest things that you have to do with someone that is like struggling or in a lot of pain at point A is tear down the entry level, the barrier, and get them feeling confident in their self. And
mm-hmm.
just like you said, like that first week, I can't give you a year, but I can give you a week. Okay, so then it's my job as a coach to tear down that entry barrier, make sure that you have very realistic, very sustainable, very executable
mm-hmm.
goals that you are going to do every day for 7 days. So by the end of that 7 days, you are like, I almost dropped an F-bomb.
We got bleeps. We can handle
it. You're like, fuck yes, I can do this.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have this. Like,
yeah.
I've done 7 days. I've got some momentum. People wait for motivation
mm-hmm.
before they act. And here's the thing, that motivation is an emotion. And if you are constantly waiting for an emotion to come to you before you take action,
mm-hmm.
it's like saying, oh, I'm so sad. I'm so miserable. Why am I not just happy? And you just lay there and you're just miserable because you're miserable.
And
but
you're not doing anything to make
yourself happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're waiting. And it's like, it's such a selfish thing, like, to expect that we're just going to snap our fingers and feel a way we want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen that way.
We have to put the motivation into it, which goes back to, there's not a convenient time to start this.
No.
But once you start, then it becomes self-perpetuating.
Yeah.
And it's the behaviors and the habits that'll keep it going.
A very positive feed-forward mm-hmm. cycle. One of my biggest things for my clients is action over anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're really anxious about getting started, the most powerful thing you can do is just take one step, mm-hmm. one small step in that direction, and it's going to help you move through the anxiety you have about your success, your
mm-hmm.
self-confidence. And just by that, it's going to shift your emotions and help you feel more confident, more capable, and, you know, more excited about it. But we've got to get out of that holding pattern of anxiety
right.
by taking action.
And so many times that anxiety is wrapped around not enough. And so mm-hmm. that misconception and barrier of, you know, I'm anxious about getting started, but I'm looking at my schedule today and I cannot get to the gym. Well, you could walk up 3 flights of stairs, and yes, that is enough, because
yeah.
it's actionable.
Yeah.
You are doing something
right
instead
away.
Of sitting in your anxiety.
Yes.
And if it's 3 flights of stairs, you did 3 flights of stairs where you could have done none.
Yeah.
If it's a glass of water, it's a glass of water
yeah.
when you could have done none.
It's funny yeah. because I mean, it's really funny that you're pointing out things that most people overlook, because
mm-hmm.
most people do overlook those things and they try to start at the top.
Yeah. Well, because those things aren't good enough.
Right. And in the end run, it's not about that 20-minute workout.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, okay, how often do you take the stairs?
Mm-hmm.
How much are you moving outside of your workout? Because you already touched on the idea of, we are such a sedentary society. It
mm-hmm.
is a huge issue. It's not just about going to the gym for 20, 30 minutes or even an hour and busting your ass and just like going as hard as you can and then sitting at a desk for 8 hours, sitting
mm-hmm.
in your car commuting for 2 hours, sitting on the couch watching TV for an hour and a half, and then going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's 16 hours of not moving.
Yep.
That's an issue. So the stairs on the hour, like what I like to have my clients do is like maybe, you know, maybe every hour, set a timer for a minute, close your door, do some squats,
mm-hmm.
or go up a flight of stairs, come back. If every hour is too much, try to do it 3 times a day. Set a timer, 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Yep. Go up a flight of stairs 2 times, 3 times, come, or, you know, go all the way to the top of the building, come back down. Like, we have to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's going to give you the win and the confidence that, like, oh, I can do this. I feel good. Yeah. My hormones are a little bit better. I'm getting some blood pump. Mm-hmm. I feel confident.
The headache's getting a little bit better.
Okay, let me do a little bit more next week. And that's how you do it.
And it becomes habit forming in a way that you get to do every single day. And now, don't get me wrong. I love a routine of this is my time where I'm really going to go busted. Yeah. And I'm going to go hit the gym. For me, it's Pilates and yoga and rock climbing. I have my sacred space, and that's where I'm doing it.
Yep.
But that to me is not the movement and exercise that keeps me healthy. Mm-hmm. That is where I get to put, you know, a lot of energy and time to really exploring what's happening in my body.
Yeah.
The movement and exercise that keeps me healthy is the fact that I take the stairs to my office every single day. And the fact that, well, thankfully I have a job that keeps me moving and doing laps around this table all day. That's where my health comes from. And so when I see my patients missing opportunities to take the stairs, go for a walk around the office, you know, get down on the floor instead of sitting on a chair.
Yep.
Those are all missed opportunities for movement. And yes, they all count. When you get down on the floor, you are doing some version of squatting.
Yep.
When you are going up the stairs, every single step is kind of a one-legged squat.
Yeah.
All of these things that you go to the gym to manufacture are right at your fingertips. And yes, it is good enough. And those are the sustainable wins.
Yeah. I mean, I have a huge list of the things that I have my clients. We kind of do like a movement audit and a time audit. Well, because if you're saying you don't have time and you can only do these 20-minute workouts and then you have an otherwise sedentary life, we need to take an audit and see how can you incorporate more movement into your day without like going ballistic and like losing all your time trying to do all these weird little things.
Exactly. It has to be sustainable.
It has to be sustainable. So it's like, okay, you know, let's stand and wash the dishes versus doing the dishwasher, because standing, again, if you've been sitting all day, it's important. All right, let's make sure all your dishes go on the very top shelf, so you have to climb a little step stool and then put them all down low. So you're, again, you're bending, you're squatting,
reaching.
You know, I'm a huge fan of, like, you know, for families, if they're sitting around and like watching a TV show together, I like two things. I like power cleaning breaks. So every time there's like a commercial break, you do like the whole family kind of gets up and you do like a little bit of like a power clean in the room. You know, you tidy, you put things away. You know, again, you're getting up, you're moving around, you're using your body. And you're being productive. You're also like accomplishing something that you know you need to do.
You're not giving up chores for the favor of movement. You can do them together.
And the other thing is, okay, you want to watch a show, get on the floor and stretch.
Yeah.
Stretch, roll out, do some like downward dogs. Like, again, you can do it during commercial break. Like, you know, I don't have a ton of time by the end of the day, it feels. And so if I want to decompress and just be like, you know, a normal human and watch a TV show for a half hour, I'm going to get on the floor with a foam roller and just like do a little bit of recovery. So
that you can work it into your day as it exists. And so when we start to divorce ourselves from the fact that I have to go to a unique place and use unique tools in order to exercise and move, suddenly our entire lifestyle is, you know, rife with opportunities to do a little bit more than what we've been doing.
Yeah.
And again, it's not until we get to that elite athlete's, you know, end of the spectrum where it's like, yeah, now you need some fancy tools.
Yeah.
Now you really have to push your body because, you know, you've been doing all these things and you've been moving like crazy. But for most of us, just squatting down to put the dishes away, you know, sitting on the floor to fold your laundry instead of on a couch, standing to fold your laundry, all of those things are wins and they count.
But even that unique athlete, you know, you can get 2 or 3 home workouts a week and like maybe 1 gym workout and you can still advance yourself. Like, I mean, if you're working out at that level properly, you know, and you're using kettlebells and your program and your workouts are in place, like, I mean, you can do so much. You can do so much. I, you know, when I'm at the gym, all my workouts for my clients are free weights. Like, we very rarely use machines. You know, you can do that at home with a pair of dumbbells.
And even without a pair of dumbbells.
Even without.
You know, I picked up a can of tomatoes for dinner last night. And that was, you know, good to me, a pound of tomatoes right there. Get your bag of potatoes. All of these things become useful tools and useful weights.
I mean, puppies, kitties,
small children.
I mean, like, I have textbooks. Like, sometimes I'll be – so one of the things that my clients do So they'll do their workouts on their own, my virtual clients. And then they'll send me, you know, they'll prop their phone up and they'll take like a 5, 10, 15 second video of a movement, a squat, and they'll send it to me. And so I'm constantly then sending them a video back because I want to continue to coach them and make sure that they're moving safely and efficiently.
Yes.
And 9 times out of 10, you know, I'm doing them while I'm in like my office hours. And so I'm usually just like grabbing something next to me to demonstrate. And so I'm demonstrating them how to do a goblet squat and I'm like grabbing my water bottle and like holding it at my chest and just squatting with that, or grabbing like a huge textbook and holding it at my chest and squatting, and then using the textbook to like squat press overhead. Like, you know, I love the accessibility of exercise and this slant of virtual business with this with nutrition and fitness coaching in this society right now, because it's tearing down the facade that it has to be this one way. It's opening up doors. It's showing people how accessible it can be in your home. You know, I mean, I'm looking at a pot outside the store right now and it looks pretty heavy. I bet you could pick that up and hold that for a little while and do some squats in your house. Like, you don't actually have to spend $30 to get a kettlebell. You can use a pot. So it doesn't have to be expensive either. You know, so I guess wrapping that back up was, I like this digital age because it's bringing things into people's homes and into people's like workspaces and all these other unique areas of life. And within that, we're being shown how to be resourceful with what we have to benefit our lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
Everything's really just already at our fingertips. We have to change the way we think about it. And I, you know, we look around this office and we have some potted plants around, but I have some pretty minimal tools in here. You know, a couple foam rollers and some elastic bands, and those are all pretty easy to get for your home. But when we're talking about a patient coming in and having pain lifting something's heavy, I grab textbooks out of my cupboard and I hand them a pile of books.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a weight rack in here. It's, what do you have at home that we can mimic here in my office? You know, how can we practice this and make it sustainable for you? So it's all there.
Yep.
And I think sometimes we do just really need that assistance of someone who makes a passionate career out of thinking about these things creatively, just to shift the lens a little bit.
And with that, the last thing I'll say is, like if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, I had never thought about this. like this isn't your job. Like, it's not your job to know all of this. Like, don't beat yourself up because you didn't think about it or you didn't know it, or, oh, why wasn't I doing that? Like, it's not your job to know these. Like this is my job. I eat, breathe, sleep this. It's been my life. It's been my life if you look back to the beginning. And so, and it's the same for you. Like, people are like, oh, and I hear that a lot from people. They beat themselves up and, you know, they kind of like harp on themselves and they expect themselves to have known it. They expect themselves to have been able to do it. Why can't I do this right away? And I look at them and I'm like, it's unrealistic to expect that you just pick something up and you're just like perfect.
It's like, this is obviously a 10-pound weight. I know what to do with it.
Like, it's crazy to me to think about the expectations that we have of ourselves, of our bodies. I see it all the time. A client has been doing something for 3 days and he's like, I don't understand why this isn't better. And I'm like, you've done it twice ever in your entire life. Like, we've got to have patience. We've got to have understanding. And on the other end of it, it also kind of like is, I mean, I don't know.
No, but
like, I've been lifting weights for 10 years. You know, like, people are like, why isn't my body changing? And I'm like, this takes time.
Yeah.
This takes time.
That long-term choice.
Unless you do it in a really time-consuming, complicated, stressful, restrictive, obsessive way, it is going to take time. Because it's going to be more subtle changes over a longer time versus crashes and like major weight shifts and like physique changes and stuff like that.
That's what makes it more sustainable.
Yeah.
And sustainable choices are not glamorous. They're not particularly
not sexy.
They're so not sexy. They're not particularly Instagrammable. You know, I'm lifting a textbook over my head does not, you know, show the same thing as that 30-pound kettlebell.
Yep.
It's not as pretty.
Yep.
But it gets you there and it works. Go ahead.
What has given me the best results over 10 years of lifting weights has been 10 years of lifting weight. You know, has been 10 years of doing it. It wasn't like a 3-month workout stint here or a 2-week intense metabolic, you know, camp I did there, or even 6 months of training there. It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years.
Well, and that's what I think about, to wrap back to what you're saying about this is our job and this is what we obsess about. And, you know, for me, it's been a lifetime of learning how to move and getting these functional pieces all put together. And those intense experiences of the metabolic work camp or the boot camps or some of these rehab things that I've done, those are not what sustain us, they're what educate us.
Right.
And we use that education right. to help our clients and patients, because we're not expecting you to go do these same crazy things that we do, because this is our obsession.
Right.
And you have your obsession. And I toss this back and forward with my CPA all the time. She's a good friend of mine, and she is a fantastic accountant. And I will say to her, oh, God, Jimmy, I'm so sorry. I don't know how to do my payroll, and I've forgotten how to do this again. You showed it to me 3 months ago. Show me again. And she will always say, of course you don't know how to do it. That's not your job.
Exactly.
This is what I know how to do. This yeah. is what I'm training for. So it's given that same kind of grace to ourselves about, of course you don't know how to do it. That's not your job. You're really good at what you do, and you can learn to be really good at this.
Yeah.
So, Jamie, thank you for helping me all the time.
I love that. Yeah. Well, it's hard for a lot of people to admit that we mm-hmm. aren't great at everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my God. Surprise.
There are going to be things we need to ask for help for, and it does feel particularly odd to need to ask for help on how to move our bodies and find sustainable habits.
But really hard for people.
We've been practicing, you know, however old you are, you've been practicing for so long doing what you currently do.
Yep.
And you need help changing.
I tell I very frequently say, like, okay, how old are you? I'm 34. Okay. So you've been eating or moving this way for consciously, you mm-hmm. know, 30 years, you know, 30, mm-hmm. 28 years. Okay, so how long have you been working out and eating healthy? Okay, it's been about 5 weeks. Okay, cool. So we didn't gain this weight overnight.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't move this way overnight. Like, it's taken you 28 years to get to where you're going to get right, to get to where you're at. It's going to take some time mm-hmm. to work with that behavior and change that. And get the results.
Yeah, not necessarily 28 years, but certainly more than 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to take more than 5 weeks.
Yeah. Awesome. So then with those kind of thoughts in mind, what's the big thing that you'd like to see change when it comes to looking at exercise and nutrition? What's your hope for your clients?
I want my clients to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
I want patience. I want shiny object syndrome to go away. I want sexy hardcore shit to stop having such a spotlight, you know.
Yeah.
And for my clients, I want them to adopt a lifestyle change mm-hmm. with the way that they eat and the way that they move, and I want them to have it forever. My goal for my clients is what we do together, you do on your own.
Mm.
That's why I approach behavior. Like, because the minute my pieces of paper telling you what to do are gone, mm-hmm. if we haven't addressed the behavior in your foundation skill of knowledge, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So it's why I take that unique one-on-one approach, because we're going to create my client's unique framework to their health. And mm-hmm. that looks very individual. So my goal is for them, and my biggest hope is that they all sustain that. And what do you want? I want to think about this. This is like the time to say it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I love your wish for patience and the shiny object syndrome to go away. And what you said, you know, way at the onset of this conversation was, you know, this may sound like, how did you put it? Just this like tough love and the harsh truth
yeah.
is that, yeah, all of these choices are – it really is simple. It's as simple as saying, I want to change the way I've done things to a new way of doing it. But simple is hard, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to require a lot of self-reflection and behavioral changes, because the answer is you and what you want to do and what you value, where you put your priorities.
I want the victim card to go away.
Yeah.
I want the victim card and the busy badge,
mm-hmm.
like wearing I'm busy as a badge of honor versus it being a struggle that in a story that served you to get to where you are at. But we've got to let that story go if we want to change anything. I want those scenes to go away. And I really want – a huge part of my business has come from social media.
Yeah.
I love social media. Social media is amazing. Instagram, Facebook, when it is used for the right thing in an honest way, that's one of the things that people will always tell me when they meet me off social media for the first time. They're like, you're the exact same. They're like, you're very real. Yeah. That's what everyone always says is I'm very real. So I love social media. But I also think that there's a lot of stuff on there that can be really confusing to people that are in a struggling place with their health and their fitness.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shiny objects out there. And everything out there, a lot of stuff out there, not everything, it is put off as being very time-consuming and complicated. It's very extreme. It's very, time intensive. It's like, okay, you want to get this body, you need to work out 2 hours a day. Like, no, it's no. First off, you can't exercise off bad health.
Yep.
Okay. Like we cannot beat our bodies apart to make them look the way we want them to look.
Mm-hmm.
Movement is a blessing. Like, we are incredibly privileged to be able to move our bodies in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people who are not able bodied who would die to be able to move. So I don't like the notion of people beating their bodies to make them look a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't like it, but our bodies look the way that they look because of the way that we eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we want to shift anything, we have to shift it from both sides.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see a little bit of, I'd like to see that gone. I mean, I don't know. I guess I could really go on this one.
Well, there are so many pieces, so many factors that create health as we know it. And I think what we look at when we see all of the, this long list that I'm sure you and I could go back and forward on for quite some time, is there are a lot of lifestyle choices. You know, we are choosing to play the victim card. We're choosing to say that we are too busy. We are choosing to take convenience over sustenance, choosing to take the elevator over the stairs. This is all lifestyle. And no, you can't beat your body up 3 times a week in a gym and expect it to make up for lifestyle the rest of the week.
Yeah.
And that's always what my big wish is, and really what the message of the movement, of the Healing Ground movement, is about, is, own your change.
We got to wake up.
And wake up.
We got to wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are woke, though.
Mm-hmm. It's coming.
I feel like my circle, my clients, they're pretty woke.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're half asleep when we start working together, by the time we're done, they're pretty woke.
I really do feel like a large part of the population is asking for this conversation and is asking for these resources. And I'm hopeful and cheerful and optimistic about the change that's coming. So thank you for being part of that and helping
educate. Well, you too.
Educate.
I mean, it takes an army sometimes to
– Yeah.
It's hard to be the bird flying against the flock.
Mm-hmm.
So it's helpful to have a bit of a flock flying against the flock. Yep. Is how I like to think about it.
And we definitely have that here.
Yeah.
Well, and so how can people find you on this messy world of social media?
Oh, social media. I love social. I love Instagram. Yeah.
And anywhere. How can people find you?
Yeah, so Instagram, Facebook, it's all under Find Your Strong with Sarah.
Okay.
And when you spell Sarah, there's no H. It's just S-A-R-A. So Instagram, Facebook, Find Your Strong with Sarah. Of course, my website, sarahcamasioni.com. And that's easier than email. So that's probably the easiest way.
Wonderful. And I know you mentioned that you have some resources on there, and well, your Movement Matters cheat sheet.
Yeah. So we were talking about that a lot today. Well, we were talking, dancing around that. And I have this cheat sheet that I put together over the summer, and it's 10 ways to move, or 10 ways to get movement into your day without wasting an hour of your time, or something like that. It's titled. And it's 10 just unique ways to get movement.
Yeah.
So we talked about some of them, like laundry, power cleaning, stairs, every hour on the hour, a minute break in your office, parking garages, and the way that you park and the way that you shop. And it's really, it's fun. To me, it's kind of fun. It's like a life hack.
Yeah. Scavenger hunt for movement.
Time hacking, scavenger hunting. So I have that resource available that's online. And then right now I'm launching my Stronger You workout club. So I'm really excited about the workout club. It's a small group of people that are signing up for a 3-month virtual workout club with me.
Oh, awesome.
So we go live in our workouts 3 days a week. It's okay if you're not live. You can watch them recorded. And we're going through this programming of, you know, maybe a pair or two of dumbbells. Mm-hmm. I asked you to have like 2 pairs of dumbbells and a kettlebell. You can put them in your office. You can put them at home. I created it because my clients travel. Mm-hmm. My clients are like go-getting people. Like they're not just like accessible to the gym and they're in their offices or their boardrooms or they're in hotel rooms or they're in their Airbnb working remotely, whatever it is. And the excuse was, well, I can't get to the gym and then I don't have the routine at this new space. And so I don't know what to do. And I'm like over it. And so I created the workout group for us to come together, work out together. And one thing that I'm doing in there that I think is really important is movement coaching. So like once a week, I'm offering them the opportunity of sending me, you know, a video of you doing movement, a squat, mm-hmm. for example. If you're like, I've got knee pain, and I'm like, all right, send me a video of your squat. Let me see your squat. I'm a huge movement. I always call myself like a form Nazi. It's really not a good word. I need a new word for that.
Aficionado.
A form aficionado. well, just with my background. Yeah. And I've worked with so many PTs and so many chiropractors. Mm-hmm. I've worked with athletes coming through injuries and working through rehab. Like, movement is important. So if we're having aches and pains, we need to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
And so for my clients, tagging it back into being efficient, I want them to make sure that that workout is good.
Yeah.
So let's see your squat. Let's make sure it's working well and it's not causing you pain so that you can get more benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about that part of it because awesome. I think that that kind of takes it up. So, yeah. So anyways,
great.
I'm on the web. Find me on the web.
Find Sarah on the web. She's got a lot of amazing resources. I'm going to go download the Movement Matters cheat sheet and see what opportunities that I can hunt and find in my life. And I encourage you to do the same. So thank you so much
for joining us.
This was a fantastic conversation with a lot of really great nuggets in there. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll catch you next time for another episode of the Healing Ground Movement Podcast. See you later.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed what you heard and got a little something out of it. Now remember, the information expressed in these interviews is for informational and not diagnostic or treatment purposes. However, I hope you find that having the right information and resources can go a long way to helping you on your healthcare journey. Ask the right questions and seek out professional help.